today on It's Time.
God has made you and me in His image. Remember that. And so anything that I do to take away the image that God has placed in me, in you, on me, on you, this is why we end up in the troubles that we end up in.
I hear the calling, it's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
Chapter 41 of the book of Genesis, Jesus said this. He said, "Search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life, but they are actually which testify of me." And when you stop to think about it for a minute, what you find here in the life of Joseph and the parallel of what happens to Jesus about 16, 1700 years later, it's astounding. I don't know how anybody, especially that is into Judaism, cannot see the unbelievable parallels between Joseph and Jesus. Joseph sold for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus sold for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold and became a slave for us. Joseph was sold and became a slave, and down in Egypt is where he went. But after, we remember, he died on the cross, Jesus ascended to the Father. We remember after Joseph came out of prison, he's going to ascend to be at the right hand of Pharaoh. We're going to talk about that today, so it's really important. Well, as we remember, we looked at the life of Joseph. Joseph always had dreams. He dreamed that his mother, father, would and his brothers would bow down to him someday. And oh, they got so outraged by this kind of idea. Well, as we're going to see how important it was. His brothers became insanely jealous of him. He was the favored son. He had the coat of many colors. Many of you remember back in your Sunday school days. And he had this really nice coat on him. He'd go out and check on his brothers and for the most part, were a bunch of layabouts and goof-offs. He'd come back and bring a report to his dad. And so they got together and they said, "We got to get rid of this brother of ours. Let's kill him." And it just so happened as they were captured him and they were going to kill him, some guys were traveling through on their way to a swap meet down in Egypt. Actually, they were a bunch of Midianites on their way down to Amalekites on their way down to Egypt. And so they sold their brother into slavery, who was then bought by a man who was the captain of the guard. He was the head of the SS. He was a government man. And he was sold into the hands of this man. And he did well in everything that he did. Insomuch that even his wife, Potiphar's wife, wanted him. And so, as we've studied the story, she made moves on him. He got scared. He literally ran out of the house for his life. Sometimes the best antidote for temptation is a good pair of tennis shoes. And he ran for his life away from her, in which she yelled rape. And so Potiphar put Joseph into prison. Now, really, Potiphar should have had Joseph killed. I don't believe Potiphar believed that Joseph did it. I believe, though, to save face, because he was a high-ranking government official, rather than kill him, he put him into prison. But that's where he met the butler and the baker who served Pharaoh. We remember the story that they were placed in there. And it's interesting that Jesus was placed between the thieves. Well, you had these two malcontents that were in the prison with Joseph, and they had a dream. And he comes in one morning, he says, "Hey guys, why are you so bummed out?" The butler and the baker said, "Well, we both had a dream. We don't know what it means." He said, well, tell me the dream. God knows what it means. Tell me. So he told him. He talked about this, and he said, well, God's going to restore you back to Pharaoh's side in 3 days. Well, that was pretty good news. So the butler said this. He said, the baker said, well, I had a dream too, and this is my dream. I had some loaves of bread on my head, and the birds came and pecked it away. He goes, whoa, those 3 loaves are 3 days. Your head's going to be taken off of you. You're going to be hung. Wasn't good news. Sure enough, just as Joseph said, this is what happened. Joseph said, please don't forget me in this place. Well, we remember that the butler did until we come into this story today. Now, from the time that the butler was returned to Pharaoh's side to this story we read was 2 years. Meanwhile, in those 2 years, Joseph is still in prison. You know, I know a lot of times we think it's been this way. It's always going to be this way. Nothing's ever going to change in my life. But if you're a Christian here today, I got some good news for you. God changes things really fast. And that's the way God works. Let's pray. Father, as we go to your word today, may your Holy Spirit speak to us through it and cause us to understand these incredible parallels between Jesus and Joseph as we read these words to reinforce exactly what you said. They are which testify of you. So now, bless these words. May they not be just ink on paper, but may they come alive by the power of your Holy Spirit. Now, may we remember these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, then it came to pass. And by the way, for everybody here, whatever you're going through, if you're in an uncomfortable place in your life right now, it will come to pass. It will pass. Know that. God loves you right where you're at, but he loves you too much to leave you there. And so God will move you along as you seek to follow him. The second thing we find here, it says, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. By the way, God's timing is not my timing or your timing. I don't always know what God works out in these times of wait. But I know that God does work on our personalities and he changes our perspective of things. I often tell people this. I wish you all knew me when I was 18 because I knew everything about everything. I find as I get older, the more I know, I don't know. And this is what we'll find in our lives. What is it that changes our perspective? What is it that changes our perspective from one day to the next? Or this idea that if I just had this, I would be happy, and we get that and we're not happy. What is that? I believe time begins to move us more towards, as a Christian, to the purposes and the callings of God. So he says, 2 years go by, and Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he stood by a river. Suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed on the meadow. Then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, ugly and scrawny. And he stood, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly cows and the scrawny ones ate up the 7 fine-looking fat cows. And Pharaoh awoke. Whoa. All of a sudden, have you ever had a dream that bothers you? I think we all have. I mean, sometimes it's just really weird. You just get a weird unction or whatever. Well, what's really strange here, he has this dream of fat cows and 7 scrawny cows. And the scrawny cows eat up the fat cows, and they're still scrawny. That's pretty weird. Let's read on. And he woke. Oh, boy. Pepperoni pizza late at night. Got to lay off of that. Okay. He says, he slept and dreamed a second time. And suddenly 7 heads of grain came up on 1 stalk, plump and good. And behold, the seven thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. And the seven thin heads devoured the seven plump and the full heads, so that Pharaoh awoke, and indeed it was a dream. Now it came to pass in the morning, his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember the faults of my day, when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house and the captain of the guard in prison. Both me and the chief baker, we each dreamed a dream one night. He and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was a young Hebrew man who was there, the servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each of us, he interpreted according to our dreams. And it came to pass, just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. He restored me to my office, and he hanged the other. And Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. They shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. Now, I like this because when God moves, he moves quickly. It is interesting that Joseph has been in prison. We don't know exactly how long, but many people estimate from the time he was 17 to the time he was 30 years old. He had been away from his homeland. He had been away from everything. He was accused by Potiphar's wife. He ends up in prison. So there's at least probably 13 years of him being away from his homeland, him being in jail part of that time, and then two extra years after he interpreted the butler and the baker's dream, now he's called upon. Now, by the way, God's timing is perfect. Maybe if the butler had remembered Joseph and said, oh, by the way, Pharaoh, last week when I was in prison, this guy had a dream, and Pharaoh might have said, well, that's very nice. Thank you very much. I'll remember that. But what happened was Pharaoh had a dream that troubled him exceedingly. I'm always amazed by dreams in the Bible. Oftentimes we think dreams are dreamed by those who love God. But I have found oftentimes in the Old Testament, dreams are dreamed by people who don't know God. We remember that Pharaoh had a dream concerning Abraham's wife. He comes and he says, this woman is not your sister as you told me, this is your wife. God said, don't you lay a hand on her. Happened for other people as well. We remember Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. He had his dream of a head of gold and shoulders of silver and legs of iron, stomach of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay. And this was the world of how it's going to unfold, even up to the days that we're living in right now. So all these dreams coming to non-godly people, but godly people who know God, explain to them what it means. Don't be surprised if God calls upon you to interpret a dream for somebody that you know as well. Now, remember, you say, but Mike, I don't know what the answer to the dream is. You're right, you don't. But God does, and God can tell you what it means. Now, he says, now, Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, brought him hastily out. When God moves, he moves quickly. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there's no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said that you can understand a dream to interpret it. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh the answer of peace. I like that. He said, and he could have took the credit. He goes, well, I, you know. No. God is the one. You know, God will share his glory with no one. And I'll tell you, there's nothing that will get anyone in trouble faster, any minister, anybody else, when you start taking the glory rather than giving the glory to God. You know, I think it's really sad. Oftentimes, I look at these different church presidents of different organizations or popes or priests or whatever. Remember, everyone, they put their shoes on, their pants on, just like you do. The only thing that makes us righteous is God in us. There's nothing that I do to make me righteous or make me holy. Paul says in the New Testament, no good thing dwells in the flesh. Have you lived long enough to figure that one out? You can be sitting in church and all of a sudden you can have one of the most profane thoughts in your whole life. Don't you realize this is the battle of the invisible empires? When we realize that God is the one that makes us good, we're not good on our own. I've always used this illustration. When you sin does not make you a sinner. It proves what you are. Big difference. But God loves sinners. And when we realize and really stop and are honest with ourselves, we realize sin does not do you any good. Because what it does is it takes us away from God's best for us. Now, you stop to think about it for a minute. When we go out and we get obliterated, either with our favorite bong or our favorite six-pack, we're obliterated. We're not at our best, are we? Have you tried driving that way? You won't drive very long. Because it changes us from what God made us to something else. Do you know God loves you and designed you to be who you are? And because he's done that, you're perfect in the way that he made you. I don't need some outside stimulus to change me, to make me better. God has made you and me in his image. Remember that. And so anything that I do to take away the image that God has placed in me, in you, on me, on you, this is why we end up in the troubles that we end up in. Because the thing is, I'm not going to be operating at full capacity. Friends, we're in a world right now where all of us need to be operating at full capacity. Why is that? We're in a very treacherous place in our world. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. One of the things that a KGB agent, and we have the video up on To Every Man an Answer, if you go there, the KGB agent that defected to the United States, their idea to overthrow America was not invade our shores. It was to cause us to rot from the inside out. And so they worked through many of the college professors, school teachers, and politicians to demoralize America. Because once a nation is demoralized, they're easy prey. In other words, you've lost your footing. You've lost your heritage. You've lost your history. If they can take away your history, if they can take away your heritage, if they can take away the way how we all got here, and the ideals that we were built upon, right and wrong, then we're easy prey for something else. Well, that's what they have done. Have you heard the term relativism taught in the colleges? Relativism is basically this: there is no right, there is no wrong, it's just how you look at it. But the Bible says there is right and there is wrong. Well, once that philosophy gets into the minds of people, then all of a sudden it begins to affect our laws. And it affects the way we all live. Haven't you ever sat back, watched television, and go, what's wrong with everyone? How a guy can say, well, you know, I feel like a woman today, so I'm going to go into the women's bathroom after little, you know, 8, 10, 14-year-old girls go in the same bathroom. North Carolina says that's perfectly normal. Really? We don't even know what bathroom to go into anymore. Does it cause you to wonder why we don't know how to vote anymore? Does it cause you to wonder why we don't know what's right or wrong? Governor Newsom, California, passed a law that said decriminalizing pedophilia. As long as the child is not more than 10 years old, then the person that molests them, no longer a crime. So if you don't kill them in the womb, make them all messed up by the time they're adults. That's right. They decriminalize it. It was left up then to the way the judge happens to feel about it. So in other words, a 21-year-old man can molest a 11-year-old boy or girl, and it's okay. Relativism is dangerous. Now, one of the things in demoralization of a nation is, again, we no longer have any standards. True is only true if it's true to you. Is that right? Well, I don't happen to believe driving into a wall at 100 miles an hour will hurt me. Try it. No, on second thought, don't do that. The point is, the result will be the same. Death. Here's why. Because it doesn't necessarily mean how we feel about something establishes whether it's true or not. And this is the problem of the old sin nature. I will say it's true if it's true to me. But when we believe wrong, we live wrong. If you don't believe that there's a life hereafter, then why have any morality in your life whatsoever? I mean, after all, let's go for the gusto. This is the problem. And so what happens is we end up with a world of non-absolutes. We're demoralized, and then things move in. You see, I believe, again, this is why the Word of God is so important in the days we're living in. And when we find ourselves in an altered state, however that might be, I will miss opportunities, you will miss opportunities to lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. You don't know when God's going to call upon you. In this particular case, you find Joseph, who could have been in prison, sulking, oh, woe is me, you know, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, guess I'll go eat worms, nice, fat, juicy ones, itsy, bitsy, squizzy one, I'll guess I'll go eat worms, kind of thing. Well, no. In fact, the Bible says in the preceding chapter that anything that was committed to Joseph, he did with all of his heart. In fact, he's one of the rare people in the Bible that was never caught complaining. I like that. I'm a complainer by nature. I just am. But I have to work on that. Maybe those were some of the things that God worked out in him when he was in prison. I don't know. Because he's about to be transported from a prison to prime minister in a day. So he says, like I say, this is why I believe we need to be always on our best. We don't know when the Lord will call upon us. So he said, it's not within me, but God will give you the answer of peace. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, behold, in my dream, I stood on the bank of a river. And by the way, there's a few more details inserted this time, probably as Pharaoh thought about it. Notice it says, suddenly there were seven cows that came out of the river, looking fat and fed in the meadow. And behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very straggly, ugly. Such ugliness I have never seen in all the land of Egypt. These must have been some ugly cows. Robert, don't you buy no ugly cow. I'm sorry. And the ugly cows, the mangy cows, ate up the seven fat cows, the first seven fat cows. And when he had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had just eaten them, for they were just as ugly as at the beginning. So I awoke.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store, or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening, and tune in next time for It's Time.